The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Denton, we're going to buy a few things NFL-wise. We're going to sell a few things NFL-wise. I'm going to start with this. I'm going to buy the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat Baltimore on Sunday at home. They're a three-point dog. No Alex Highsmith. You know, remember, he rolled his ankle on Jaden's ankle. And remember, Jaden came over and checked on him during the game. We didn't mention that on Monday in the recap. But Highsmith was phenomenal in the game, and he's out. But what a perfect time to have added Preston Smith, you know, at the trade deadline. I think this is a different Pittsburgh Steelers team. And here's something I didn't know until I heard it this morning. Do you know that Lamar Jackson has missed more games in their head-to-head matchups against the Steelers than he's played because of multiple things, injury, COVID, and that he's only, in all the years, and they play twice a year, he's 1-3 as a starter against Pittsburgh? I didn't know that until I heard that this morning.
I did not know that. That's a pretty impressive statistic.
And I think one of the things, like last week I was saying, you know, Pittsburgh has been planning and game planning for Lamar Jackson twice a year for a long time now. And, you know, that's they'll be more prepared. It's one of the reasons that they were good against Jaden. Well, apparently they've only prepared for him four times. That's kind of crazy. But Lamar, you know, has missed a lot of games over his career, and some of the games, like last year's game late in the season, wasn't a material game. So there you go. I like Pittsburgh as a team. I think Russell Wilson's got, I think they have figured it out. It is a good combination with Arthur Smith. You know, adding Mike Williams is a big deal. Adding Preston Smith is a big deal. Losing Alex Highsmith is a big deal, but they've got an answer for it in Preston Smith. I like Pittsburgh to win Sunday against a Ravens team that just is not that good on defense. Their pass defense stinks. I mean, they gave up 400-plus in their last game against Burrow. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase had 270 yards or something like that, receiving yardage-wise. I like Pittsburgh Sunday. That's my first NFL buy of today. Pittsburgh to beat Baltimore Sunday at home.
My first buy is a team that I actually sold a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to come back here and buy low. Riding a four-game losing streak, I'm going to buy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And
God,
honestly,
there's something about them.
This is more to do with Atlanta, I think, right now than it is Tampa Bay, but they got a bye week this week, and then their next three games after the bye, New York on the road, at Carolina, and then home against the Raiders. All of those are winnable. All of those should be wins, and that would get them to 7-6. And if you're 7-6 entering the middle portion of December, you got a chance. And I don't really love Atlanta right now, so I'm going to buy Tampa to potentially get away in the NFC South, maybe with a 9-8, 10-7 record. I'm going to buy Tampa.
Average minds think alike. That was next up on my list. I am buying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have, with, you know, an injured group, they have played valiantly the last 4 weeks. You know, the Monday night comeback where they actually had not a great chance, but they had a chance at the very end. But the way they've played their last three opponents in particular, without Mike Evans, without Chris Godwin, the Falcons, the Chiefs, and the 49ers, it's why I love Todd Bowles, man, and it's why I sometimes get pissed off when I hear people really taking big pot shots at him. Now, I did in the playoff game last year because I thought he tapped out, and I don't think he figured out how he did tap out. It wasn't intentional. But that team is just always tough, and their quarterback is tough, and they love the quarterback, Baker Mayfield. And they've lost three games in the last possession of the game. Atlanta, Chiefs, 49ers. They have a bye week. I think they'll get Mike Evans back at some point, right?
That is the hope. Yeah, a hamstring injury, so he should be back.
And like you said, after the bye, Giants, Panthers, Raiders. They also have the Cowboys, Panthers, and Saints to end the year. Like, in the tough game they play is on the road against the Chargers. Atlanta, meantime, they stink on defense. Their kicker missed three field goals Sunday against the Saints. And they got to go out and play Denver, who might be the best defensive team in the league. They're certainly up there. And then they got to play the Chargers and the Vikings. So I'm buying Tampa to totally get back into this thing in the NFC South. I am totally with you. And by the way, if they were to make the postseason, they'd be a tougher out than the Falcons would be. Atlanta literally cannot stop anybody. I mean, Valdez-Scantling in his first game for the Saints last week had 109 yards on three catches, two touchdowns. The thing the Falcons have going for them is offensively they're good, and they can run the football too. But the kicker missed three field goals, and now they're two games up, and they swept Tampa, and that will be their advantage. But I like everything about the Buccaneers. Like, if that were my team right now, I would not be bailing on them. I'd be going through all of their playoff scenarios because they got a chance. They got a chance to win five out of the last seven. Six out of the last seven. They do. And if they don't, it's because they just kind of ran out of gas playing everybody really tough and they just couldn't overcome all the injuries they had. But I do think they are, I think they're supposed to get Mike Evans back, Denton. I didn't think that was for the year.
No, because it's just a hamstring. Like, Godwin is for the year more likely than not, unless they go super deep. But because it's just a hamstring, there's a good chance that Mike Evans is going to be back.
Yeah, all right. What else are you buying or selling?
So I have one more buy. I'm going to buy that the Patriots do not finish last in the AFC East. Between them and the Dolphins, we know how the Dolphins do in cold weather games. And if you look at the time of year, you're going to see a lot more cold weather games. They are not great, and the Jets are a disaster. There's no saving this season. This has not worked, whether it's Aaron's fault, whether it's everybody else's fault. It's probably a combination of both. I do think the Patriots win at least one or two more games. I don't think anyone in that division is going to finish great outside of the Buffalo Bills, obviously. But I think New England is going to find a way to not finish last in the AFC East with Drake May. He hasn't been playing great, certainly not like the way that Jaden has been playing. But you have seen some pretty nice plays that give you reason to be optimistic if they can actually surround him with talent, because right now that roster is brutal.
I'm going to buy a player, and then I'm going to buy something else afterwards. But I love this player coming out of Notre Dame last year, Audric Estime, the running back. And Denver's been playing Javonte Williams, but they sat him, and Estime came in and rushed for 53 yards off the bench in their loss to Kansas City Sunday at Arrowhead, where, you know, they had a field goal blocked at the end. Denver's a really interesting team right now. They're a very physical team on both sides of the ball. Bo Nix is playing much better than I think anybody anticipated he would in his rookie year. But watch Estime and watch him this week against a team that cannot stop the run in the Falcons. I loved him coming out. He really had very few opportunities because Javonte Williams had a decent year. Audric Estime, All right, Notre Dame running back, Denver Bronco. He's going to have a big second half of the season. What's next for you?
I have a sell, so I'll let you buy one more thing before I have my sell.
I'm going to buy the 49ers. As long as Christian McCaffrey is healthy, the 49ers are going to make a big run, and they're going to end up winning the division. I know that's not out on a limb by any stretch, and they've got tough games. You know, they have this week against the Seahawks, which they desperately need. They have to go to Lambeau the following week. They have a game in Buffalo on Sunday Night Football early December. They still have a game against the Lions, and they finish at Arizona. Even without Ayuk, there's something else about the reason I'm buying the 49ers is I'm starting to come around a little bit more on Brock Purdy. I think there are games when I watch him and I'm like, God, you can't do this. And then there are other games like Sunday where he is really a big part of why they won. He's very good off platform, off schedule, which is different than Garoppolo. And he's a gamer, man. He is a gamer. And I think the combination of the way he's been playing along with the return of McCaffrey, I think the 49ers are going to end up being right there with Detroit at the end. They'll have to go to Detroit, and they may have to go to Philly or to Washington to win a playoff game. But I think they're going to rise to the level of the second best team in the NFC over the next month and a half. All right, what are you selling?
All right, so my first sale here is going to be NFL officials and their inability to know and not know what a hip drop tackle is. So Adam Schefter tweeted this yesterday. NFL hearing officer Jordy Nelson, yes, that Jordy Nelson, rescinded a $16,883 fine that was levied against Roquan Smith for the play that broke or dislocated Chris Godwin's ankle. This is a hip drop tackle. It's a picture perfect. This is exactly what the NFL said we want to avoid, and they just rescinded the fine. Now, I'm not in favor necessarily. Like, I think a hip drop tackle is way too difficult to judge. I think targeting is very easy. It's a hit to the head. You kind of understand what it looks like right from the jump. I think a hip drop tackle is very difficult to judge. The NFL got ahead of itself by trying to implement some sort of penalty and some sort of way to stop this thing. So I'm selling their inability to maintain this. I think they're going to negate any sort of fine or any sort of penalty that's going to come in the years to come that has anything to do with a hip drop tackle, because clearly the people that advocated for this, which are the former players, don't know how to properly judge one.
Yeah. They're not that hard to judge, are they?
I don't really think so, but there was a game. Washington's been on the receiving end of what looked like some hip drop tackles in recent weeks, and there's been nothing done about it. Like, no flag is ever thrown for it, so I don't understand why they implemented a rule, and I think they've called a hip drop tackle across the league like less than 10 times.
Right. I don't know if I've already done this, but I'm selling the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm probably stupid to do this because their schedule is just not that difficult. I mean, they have, you know, they just went back-to-back with the Colts and the Jags. They play the Titans this week, then the Bears. They have the Bears twice. They do have the Lions and the Packers and the Falcons, but they get the Falcons at home. I mean, they were life and death with Jacksonville on Sunday. And Jacksonville didn't have Trevor Lawrence. Mac Jones was playing. Now, they were great defensively. They gave up like 150 yards total. But Sam Darnold is a turnover machine. He is an absolute turnover machine. Minnesota's going to make the postseason. There's no doubt about it. They're not going to sniff Detroit for the division title. And they could be a one-and-done playoff team, definitely. And they'd play on the road to begin with anyway. Darnold is a walking turnover, Denton. He had three picks in that game. He had three turnovers the week before. I know that we've all of a sudden seen this increase in turnovers. I mean, Jared Goff throwing five picks in a game that they won. Sam Darnold throwing three picks in a game that they won. The week before that, Sam Darnold turned the ball over three times and they won. It's just got to catch up with them, right? You know, he makes good throws, and I think Sam Darnold is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I've always felt that way, but I feel a little bit less in watching him with a really good team. Like, they should be so much more explosive offensively. They should be one of the best offensive teams in the league. They lost Christian Darrisaw. They did add a veteran tackle to replace him. But, you know, Jefferson and Addison and Hawkinson's back. They have Aaron Jones. They have Kevin O'Connell scheming the whole thing up. And they scored 12 points against Jacksonville. They only scored 21 against Indy, and I think one of the touchdowns was a defensive touchdown. He just hurts them too much. Too many drives stall because he takes too many sacks and he turns the ball over too much. I think they'll start going to a lot more heavy run game and a lot more quick stuff with Darnold than the drop back stuff. But I'm selling the Vikings of having any, you know, shot at a reasonable run when we get to January. What else are you selling?
My final sell, I'm going to sell the Rams as a playoff team in the NFC. I watch them and at times I look at them and I say, this team's really good and they can score really, like they are just Sean McVay's in his bag, right? And then there are other times like on Monday night where I watch them and it's confusing as to why are they so inefficient? Why can they not score? They're only putting 15 points up against the Dolphins, who are a good defense, but not nearly a great defense. And then I look at their schedule. They got a game against Philly, Buffalo, San Francisco, another one against the Cardinals, who whooped them early in the season, and they finish with the Seahawks. I think they have a very tough road to get to the postseason where they got to win some games that don't necessarily look winnable right now. So I'm going to sell the Rams as being a playoff team. I think they might have kind of spooked themselves or fooled themselves a little bit by success right before the trade deadline when it might have been time to break things up.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Miami is fast on both sides of the ball. That is for sure. My final sale will go hand in hand with my first purchase. And that is, I'm selling the Ravens from having a deep run in the postseason. They're going to be in the postseason, and Lamar Jackson is a phenomenal player. I just don't believe in them defensively. It's amazing how you go from one of the best defensive teams we've seen in the last few years last year to losing all those coaches and a couple of key players, and they are not a good defensive team at all right now. They really are not, and that's going to cost them. You know, they're going to get run on. They're going to get thrown on by you know, Josh Allen in the postseason, even though they beat them 35-10. I get that. Baltimore right now defensively in the league. Where is it? They're 17th in DVOA defense. They were first last year. Pass defense, they're much lower than that. I think Baltimore's going to, you know, they're going to be right there. They might even win the division, okay? They might even win the division. They're not going to beat Kansas City in the postseason. They're not going to beat Buffalo in the postseason. They're out before the championship game. That's what I'm selling. That's not really like a huge sell on a team that's overpriced right now, because I think people are looking at Baltimore wondering, you know, this is so different from last year when they were dominant defensively, and they're not this year.
I think they lose
this week. By the way, the other thing about them, they have the Steelers twice. They still have a road game against the Chargers. They have a home game against the Eagles. They got to go to Houston later in the year. They could end up with another two or three losses, you know, and end up as a 10-7 type team, 11-6 team. You know, not what they were last year. What were they last year? 14-3.
They're like 14-3. So they were silly, super silly. But I would say that Lamar exiting where you had them projected to exit after he wins a third MVP would be a very big deal. I think people would be very, very upset in Baltimore.
But, you know, it was a bigger deal last year because they were so dominant defensively. And they were favored to get there. You know, and they lost at home in a title game against Kansas City as the favored team. This year, they may be going on the road in a second, you know, divisional round game to Buffalo or to Kansas City, and they might be an underdog. So the expectations might be a little bit less, but you're right to this extent. If they fall short in the playoffs, or the perception is they didn't get to the Super Bowl again, and that perception, the reality of that, it'll fall back on Lamar, where last year it probably justifiably fell back on Lamar, and this year I think it'll probably fall back on them not being a complete football team. All right. Anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Five burning questions, NFL questions, and then we'll get back to the phone lines if you want to start jumping on, and we'll get to our earlier question because we didn't get to all of you. Where is this team headed? Where do you have these final seven games landing? And then what will you learn tomorrow night in the matchup against Philadelphia about our team? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're hot. They're really hot. They're burning. It's Denton's Five Burning Questions.
All right, Denton, five questions for me. Go ahead.
All right, first one, question number one, game of the weekend, Buffalo and Kansas City. Is Buffalo the team that ends Kansas City's hopes for a perfect season?
I don't think so. I think the Chiefs, they just figure out ways to win that week. Like, they have, in so many ways, become a lot like the Patriots during their dynastic run in that every team was different year in and year out, but all those teams had, you know, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. These teams have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and they just do whatever they need to do to win. Like, the Patriots were never, like, if you had said about the Patriots, Denton, during their run, what was their identity? It was different every year. Winning was their identity. Or the identity would be what? Did they have an identity?
Yeah, Brady and Belichick, and then in that 07 year when they ran the table, it was Brady and Moss.
I know. Right, so it was Brady, yeah. But I'm talking about, you know, Pittsburgh's identity is toughness. Baltimore's identity is blue collar toughness, great defenses typically. You know, the 49ers' identity is we're going to run the ball. You know. The Patriots every year did it differently. You know, if it required Brady to throw it 45 times to win games, great. If it required Brady to throw it 21 times, they did that. If it meant, you know, they got to go heavy zone, they did that. If it meant they had to go heavy man, it went that way. That's the Chiefs right now. I mean, yeah, it's Reed and it's Mahomes. It was Belichick and Brady, but their style just seems to change based on what's required to win the game. This is a big game for Buffalo, man. Big game. They got destroyed by Baltimore. You know, if you consider these three teams to be the heavyweight teams, and Baltimore's struggling on defense, and we just talked about that, this is a big game for Buffalo. Buffalo needs to, at home Sunday, beat the Chiefs. And I'm not confident that they will. I actually kind of like Kansas City to have maybe one of their best performances of the year and win that game.
Yeah, they certainly know how to get up for games. I will say this, if Josh Allen does go out there, seeing that he is working with limited talent and beats Kansas City,
MVP,
he's right there in that conversation with Lamar. Because he already is in the conversation, but it feels like it's Lamar's sizable gap. Then Josh Allen and Jaden, I think that gap closes for Josh Allen. I also think it closes if Jaden wins on Thursday.
What if Mahomes goes out and throws for 350 and three touchdowns and they destroy Buffalo in Orchard Park? Now Mahomes is back into the conversation.
He's back in it, yeah. So big day for the MVP trophy.
What's the number again? 2.5?
2.5, I think, unless it's maneuvered.
Yeah, I like Kansas City on the road Sunday. All right, what's next? What's your second
question? Number two. After losing to the New Orleans Saints, do you question how good Atlanta is?
Definitely. But, you know, I had the Saints as a smell test pick, and I thought that they would win that game outright. It's just too much on Atlanta. Atlanta's bad on defense. They've got a couple of really good safeties. But Jesse Bates is one of the best players defensively in the league. They can't stop the run. They don't get enough pressure on the quarterback. That's a bad combination. You know, when you can't stop the run and then you don't pressure the quarterback well. They got a kicker who's missed 5 out of his last 7 attempts in the year of the field goal kicker. Missed 3 in 1 game indoors. So you got maybe an issue there. They've got some injuries a little here and there. You know, London was banged up a couple of weeks ago, and he's okay. But they lose a couple of linemen each game. Kirk needs the supporting cast. You know, as he's gotten a little bit older, what's clear is his mind's working better than it ever has. But you got to protect him. When he has time, look out. He'll shred you, as he did Tampa with 500 yards on a Thursday night game. But if they're not running the football, which they have the capability of doing, and then protecting, like Sunday's a real challenge against that Denver defense. I don't have a lot of confidence. They may make the postseason and win the division, but it's going to be 9-8, 10-7. 10-7, best case. But you and I both think Tampa still has a chance to get back into this.
Yeah, I definitely do. I think Baker's been very quietly playing really, really well this year, which I did not think was going to be the case. All right.
He'll make a couple of bad decisions, though, during games.
Yeah, that's par for the course with Baker. Question number three. You've seen Pittsburgh up close. You've seen Baltimore up close. Who wins the AFC North?
Well, I just told you I think Pittsburgh is going to win Sunday at home as a dog. At home against Baltimore. I think the Highsmith loss is a big loss. But that, you know, that won't necessarily, that would put them, by the way, 8-2, Baltimore at 7-4. But that's not going to tell the tale completely. I'll tell you what, I'll pick it right now. Pittsburgh has to play Baltimore and Kansas City later in the year in back to back weeks. And that second Baltimore game will be on the road. That'll be critical. I think Pittsburgh's got a decent chance to win the AFC North. It's a different Pittsburgh team because offensively, they're more capable. God, you got to give them credit. Who had Russell Wilson playing this well and playing this clutch? Although there were a couple of games last year in Denver where he came up really big at the end of games. I don't know, Denton. That one, it's kind of a coin toss, but I'll just go out on a limb and say Pittsburgh wins the AFC North.
I think I still like Baltimore. Just because of Lamar, and I trust him more.
I love Lamar. I do. It's going to be. They play that Saturday. Remember that four team. You know, within 4 days, Saturday, December 24th, Pittsburgh plays at Baltimore, and then on Christmas Day they play home to the Chiefs. Baltimore plays at Pittsburgh. Baltimore plays home to Pittsburgh and then plays at Houston on Christmas Day. So those four teams playing on Saturday, the 21st, and on Christmas Day, which is a Wednesday, those games are going to be massive in the AFC. All right, what's your next one?
All right, question number four. At 3-7, the year has been a disaster for the Jets. At the end of this year, do they blow it up?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, what's Aaron's contract? Again, I've said this every week this year. Can't really say it last week, but their defense is terrible. I mean, the Jets and the Ravens last year had two of the best defenses in the league, and they're both horrendous this year. You just can't trust defense year to year. I mean, that's a lesson we've learned in previous years with our own team, whose defense was awesome in 2022, and in 2023, it was the worst in the league last year. It's just weird the way that works. Sometimes it's coordinators and coaching staff. Sometimes it's loss of players. Sometimes it's just whatever you had that worked. The teams that are playing you this year figured it out. But, I mean, they could – I told you this. The game against Arizona on Sunday between the Cardinals and the Jets, the Cardinals scored on every drive of the game until they didn't have to score anymore. Touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, up 31-6, and then basically they punted with subs, and then they ran the clock out on their last drive. The Jet defense is awful. Arizona was 5 of 7 on third downs. They had, you know, a dominant time of possession advantage. They didn't get stopped. It's happened with the Jets all year long on defense. I'm not saying the offense is lights out, because it hasn't been, and they drove the ball and had to kick field goals too often, and then he turned it over in the red zone. But their problem as to why they are, what are they now, 3-7?
3-7, yeah.
Has been, number one, defense. Number two, they had a kicker problem that cost them two games early. And number three, they haven't been good enough on offense.
Number three, I think, is leadership. They seem to have no leadership.
Maybe some of that is leadership. True that.
By the way, Aaron is under contract in 2025. And then he did that thing that Brady did where, like, the next 5 years are void options just to, like, help move money around to make things easier for the Jets to sign people. All right. My fifth and final.
You know what? He's such a narcissist. There's no chance he's leaving on this kind of a season. He's back next year. And the Jets will gladly have him, because who else are you going to put back there?
Yeah, it keeps him relevant, and there's no one else that you're going to put back there. Unless Jeopardy comes open again. I don't know. Is that job still open? All right. Fifth and final question. How much
Ken Jennings is holding down the fort.
How much will a coaching change help Caleb Williams?
Have no idea on this one. I will tell you this. Remember in our game, we saw truly a horrendous quarterback performance for three quarters. For three quarters of that game, he held it too long. He, you know, was inaccurate. He wouldn't throw it. He was running around. He made a couple of plays with his legs. And then he made some big plays in a 200-yard, you know, 15-point last 16 minutes of the game. And they were about to win it. I mean, let's not forget, the Bears were up 15-12. The game was over. Since then, they've lost 29-9 and 19-3 to the Cardinals and the Patriots. I hope it works out. I think he's really talented. I mean, you and I love Jaden the whole way, but I certainly understood why Caleb Williams was going to get picked where he was. He's super talented. I've heard that players wanted Tyson Bagent, the Shepherd College kid, to play. And then I've also read where DeAndre Swift and maybe even Keenan Allen just said they don't know what the problems are offensively, but they think that Caleb has a lot of talent.
Yeah, Adam Schefter.
You can't bail on the number one pick in the draft.
No.
After 10 games, 9 games.
No.
You know?
Schefter went on.
They needed to hire. Here's going to be the interesting offseason thing, is to watch the Ben Johnson chase, right? Because if he actually wants to be a head coach this upcoming offseason, he'll get that opportunity to be a head coach. It'll say a lot about Caleb Williams if he doesn't go to Chicago, if he's offered the gig.
I think there's been a lot of issues. One, like you just mentioned, the Tyson Bagent thing. Schefter was on McAfee saying that the Bears could consider benching Caleb Williams. So that certainly didn't help. But then they fired Shane Waldron the day after. A lot of the issues with Caleb, though, are because, and I don't want to point fingers necessarily, but it's because Lincoln Riley let him YOLO in college. They were just trying to get him a Heisman Trophy because the defense was bad. So they just let him do this thing where he could hold the ball for as long as he wanted, run around out there, and then make some sort of superhero kind of play. And now that you're in the NFL, guys are too fast for that. both on the back end of the defense and as the pass rushers, they're not going to let you run around for sometimes 5, 6, 7 seconds back there. He needs to get rid of that.
That's true, but it doesn't mean that he can't get coached up to play differently now that he's in the league. He has excellent arm talent.
Well, 100%. They just need to bring a coach in that can do that, because it doesn't feel like they were coaching him hard enough to avoid that. If you take that away, this guy's there's a reason he was the number one overall pick. They just need a coach to come in here and get on his rear end about not doing the silly Superman stuff.
Yeah. And he tried some of that Superman stuff against us. I've not seen the last two games of his, but he got sacked 9 times in a game. I mean, that's not good. I mean, when you get sacked 9 times in a game, you can pretty much, by the way, it's 15 times in the last two games. You can pretty much bet everything, the farm, on it ain't all the offensive line. You know, when it's the offensive line, you can get sacked 5 times, but you're then getting rid of the ball. You're not going to take 9 of them. When you get sacked 9 times, that is, I'm telling you, a lot on him. And we saw that in the game here. He just holds it too long. He won't unload it. And it must be because he's not seeing it. And sometimes it takes a while for young quarterbacks to see it. So, you know, he had a couple good games there. They were also running the football in some of those games pretty effectively. They got to run the football, no doubt. Helps. Young quarterbacks need a running game, good defense, big target, tight end. He's got a lot of big targets, that's for sure. All right, is that our fifth and final?
That are the 5 NFL burning questions.
All right, you know, I actually wanted to play something that Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels said yesterday. You'll hear that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
I feel good. Week in and week out, I feel good. I feel that I get my body back right to be able to go out there and play on Sundays.
That was Jaden Daniels yesterday talking about how he feels physically. There were a few questions about that. He did not give any information related to any sort of discomfort or the impact in the game Sunday against Pittsburgh. In fact, one of the things that I wanted to play for you before we get to a couple of things of the things that he said about the Philadelphia game is that he was asked why he didn't use his legs, why he didn't run as much on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Here's what he said.
I mean, just schematically what Pittsburgh were doing, pretty much disciplining the rush lanes and stuff like that. So zone reads, they're kind of taking me out of the zone read type of situation. So it was just more so just making the right football play.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to that. When you go back and you watch the game, they were not only disciplined in their rush lanes, they were effective in getting close in their rush lanes, and they did take him out of those zone reads. There were a couple of good, some of the better runs by Eckler in the game in particular were on zone read, you know, on read option style plays, and they played quarterback, and he made the right decision on those plays. So, you know, there was a lot of that. Sometimes it is the opponent. Sometimes you don't have to look for something that may or may not be there. Now, back to the conversation that we had when we were taking calls from some that thought that he is playing injured and that it's obvious. You know, I think it was Kevin who said that he got hurt during the game. That's different than, you know, was he still hurt coming into the game? Because I think Billy, our longtime caller from Chantilly, Billy suggested that maybe he shouldn't have been playing. That's just not the way they felt. They felt that he had improved from where he was. He's 3 weeks from the Carolina game. He was not on the injury report for the first time. But if he got hurt during the game and that impacted it, I didn't see that. I saw the shot late. I saw the shot late by T.J. Watt in the back of the end zone on the 3rd and 8 following the throw to McCaffrey that he missed. But I think when he says schematically they were, you know, very disciplined in their rush lanes and on the zone reads, they took him out of the zone read, you know, kind of keeper situation, I think there's a lot of truth to that, and I think he made the right football play. He started to look forward to tomorrow night, and he was asked about the importance of the game in terms of the divisional race. Here's what he said.
I mean, I think people just know, like, it's a Philly week. Obviously, no, it's going to be two teams that are playing each other for the first time, the record and stuff like that. But within the locker room and within the team, it's like, hey, you know, just go out there. We're playing ball. It's another game, and we got to go out there and give our best. And I know we're going to get Philly's best.
You know, the NFL changes. The NFL changes so much year to year, week to week, the whole thing. But Dallas is obviously getting to the point where they're going to have to not necessarily rebuild it. You don't rebuild it with a $60 million quarterback. You know, when you've got the highest paid quarterback, excuse me, league, you're not rebuilding. But they certainly have to recalibrate next year. And they look now to be kind of distant from contending. The Giants clearly are distant from contending. They're going to have to, you know, find their quarterback of the future starting in this upcoming offseason, and they'll probably have a coaching change as well. This could be the beginning of, you know, a 2 or 3 year run of 2 games a year times 3 years, 6 games of big time Washington Philadelphia contention for the division games. This could be the first one. You know, there's a lot between here and 3 years, understood, but Philly's talented, I mean, extraordinarily talented. They got a quarterback. Washington's not nearly as talented, but they've got the quarterback, and they will continue to hopefully add to his support system. And this could be, you know, the first of maybe a few years of a run of huge games against the Eagles. This was Jaden when asked about what he enjoys the most about playing on the road.
I mean, it's fun. You get to go and visit different atmospheres and stuff like that. So it'll be my first time playing the Philly, so I'm excited.
Yeah, Philly's one of the tougher spots to play. I mean, right now in our division, Philly's number one by far. And it's not what it used to be, but it's still number one in terms of, you know, home environments, home crowd advantage. Number two is probably the Giants, I'm guessing, because Dallas, it's so big, you end up with a lot of opposing fans, and we're still at the bottom, but hopefully starting to gain next year on that. We've talked about this, you know, going back to before the draft. This dude has played in some environments, okay? You know, you go back last year, you know, he played in that, you know, opening game against Florida State, you know, nationally televised audience. But forget that. At Ole Miss last year. At Missouri, tough environment last year. At Bama last year. The year before that in 2022, in the swamp against Florida, which really may have been the first big performance from him. Played at Auburn at Jordan-Hare. Played down at Arkansas. Played in SEC championship games. I mean, this dude's been in environments that are a lot more difficult than NFL environments. Not that the teams are as difficult as NFL teams. That's a whole new thing for him. This is the NFL. It's not college football. But I don't know. I don't see this guy being rattled by any atmosphere. I still think the one thing we have to see, and we've got to feel like, okay, that's not an issue, is later in the season when they're playing at home because they don't have a cold weather road game the rest of the year, at Saints indoors, at Cowboys, you know, basically indoors at the end of the year. They have home games against Dallas, Tennessee, late November, early December, and then the Eagles and Falcons, late December. So the cold weather, you know, thing is still something we got to see. I mean, the only reason I say that, I said it earlier in the year, but when he was bundled up like it was 5 below in the Meadowlands against the Giants, and it was like 55 degrees or 60 degrees, he's a California kid who played in Arizona, played in Baton Rouge. He's never, from my knowledge, played in a cold weather game. And I'm talking about a legit cold weather game. I'm not talking about, you know, 40 and sunny. You know, when you're running around, it feels like it's 60. I'm talking about, you know, a game where you got some weather and you got temperatures sub 32. Let's see what happens. I don't think anything's going to bother him personally. I think he adjusts and is a pro when it comes to all of this.
The wind would bother me. I think the wind kind of adjusted some of the throws this weekend.
Apparently it was swirling a little bit.
It was very windy. So like when people brought up the accuracy thing when you took calls and they said it was the rib, I disagree. I think it was the wind that was impacting certain throws. That worries me. But as far as like the cold weather stuff, I think he'll be fine.
I do too.
Because it's just chilly. You know?
I've seen teams, I've seen players, I've seen quarterbacks. I've seen it be completely different. Look, we saw it last year with the Dolphins. Tua, bless his heart, he was too cold to play in that playoff game. And that game was cold. I get it. It was six below zero.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Okay. But it completely ground that team to a halt, and he looked so miserable from the moment he took the field. There were a couple of throws early in that game that were just bubble screens that the ball didn't even leave his hand. And so you can have guys that have never been in those sorts of climates or played in them not comfortable, and it takes a while to get used to it. So we'll see. Look, around here, it's hit and miss anyway. It's totally hit and miss. Could be 50 and sunny for those games in December, easily. And if they end up in the playoffs, they could end up playing, you know, in Atlanta, you know, in a dome, or in Detroit. I don't want to play Detroit until the championship game if we get that far. Oh, boy, here he goes again. All right, we are done for the day. Tomorrow, all preparation for Thursday night, Eagles, Washington. Can't wait. Chris Russell's up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.